It has been a really tough week for the golf courses up here in Illinois. Obviously, still trying to fight through the very tough COVID-19 restrictions set down by Governor J.B. Pritzker, but also heavy rains have really deluged the area here, and many courses are either A, underwater, B, extremely damp and soggy, and C, those that are able to send golfers out are walking through squishy conditions or seeing standing water in bunkers and places like that. So it has been a very rough week for golf here in the state of Illinois.
Well, I tell you, I think it's been a rough week for golf overall. I was just shocked this week when the U.S. Golf Association announced that the U.S. Open, which is, you know, still months away, would have no local or sectional qualifying rounds. Now, this is a big break, a big deal in the world of golf, because that tournament was drawing sometimes over 10,000 entries from around the country, and these 10,000 weren't just Joe Smith off the street deciding to pay an entry fee. These were players with established low handicaps, many pro players, many of the top amateurs. So now what's happened is that the U.S. Open, which, you know, many consider the best tournament we put on, it's certainly the biggest, is basically, I hate to use the term this way, but basically now it's the U.S. Open Invitational. The field is going to be determined all by exemptions. You know, none of the criteria for those exemptions has been announced yet, so... players like Andy Pope of Glen Ellen, who qualified, got through all the qualifying rounds for the last 5 years and made the cut in the U.S. Open proper two of those 4 years, isn't getting a chance to try to do it again. And a lot of players will be in that position. Andy just has an interesting story to tell by as a Korn Ferry Tour player who's had such great success in Open qualifying. But I think, boy, you know, that can only detract from the aura of what the U.S. Open had become. I don't know how they can possibly come up with a list of players, exempt players, without leaving off some deserving candidates. So anyway, we'll have to see. That was nationally, I think, the most stunning news in the golf world this week.
Not only did the USGA end qualifying for any of their championships that they're going to host, they pretty much said outside of the U.S. Amateur and the U.S. Women's Amateur that all the other amateur events are canceled for the year. And they are already delaying accepting entrance applications for some of the four-ball type events that are scheduled for early in the year in 2021. Normally, I guess those entrance applications, you could already try to put in for those tournaments, but they are pushing even taking applications for 2021 back into July of this summer as of now. And there's no word that is going to hold up and could be delayed again.
Well, maybe we tend to dwell, everyone, not just you and me, but tend to dwell more on tournaments than we should. I mean, golf is a player's game. It's good players. You'd have to be a good player to enjoy golf. And as you know, in my end, that I'm not a good player, but I enjoy it a lot. And you know, the good news is that there is golf course. There is golf being played. I think that's what, to me, strikes me so much, is that there is golf being played. So why are so many of the big events being called off? Now, last weekend on Sunday, I watched from beginning to end the TaylorMade charity event at Seminole here. Watched it on TV. Nobody could get in to see it. But we, you know, Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy, players like that, and a good foursome of players, Matthew Wolff and Dustin Johnson. You know, it was great to see that back on TV. I mean, the players were, you know, they were all mic'd up and they didn't talk enough. That would have helped if they would have done that, but it had a very dramatic finish, and at least it was something. Now, this week we got another event very close to us here with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady from the world of football joining Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson in what I think is going to be more of a strange kind of event. I understand they're going to play one one of the holes they're going to play, everybody's going to be allowed to play with just one club. I don't know about that, but that's the event. They're raising money for a good cause. They are getting golf back on TV. This one's only on TNT, though, not Golf Channel, not one of the major networks, despite the prominence of the two pro players involved. I think that we're closing in. We are closing in. I look for a lot. I'm an optimist, as you are, I think, and I'm looking for big things to begin in June when both the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour begin play on June 11th. And all things point to the fact that those tournaments will start as scheduled now. So I think a lot of things will shake out. I think we'll get more breakthroughs around the states and the country. Of course, is getting completely open. And I certainly hope that we'll be way more back to normal by then.
Apparently, some of the television ratings came out, and initially the ratings were good for last weekend's TaylorMade driving relief match at Seminole. I think as many people wanted to see the golf course as they did want to see live golf and the players involved. But even though it was a close battle, I'm told that at least after 3 o'clock here our time, 4 o'clock your time down in Florida, when the NASCAR race started, that the ratings were slightly better for NASCAR than they were for golf. But then again, that event actually counted for something, as where the golf was just basically a charity fundraiser.
Yeah, about that Seminole event, that's right. I think that's, down here, NASCAR is in the South. NASCAR is huge. I mean, I'm not really surprised by that. The TV ratings were certainly respectable because people just wanted to see sports again, I think. You got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere. You got to get people back out and playing and doing and stuff like that. So the thing that struck me about the Seminole event, other than the dramatic ending with Rory McIlroy winning the event with his final swing of the day, was the fact that Seminole has this great reputation, but it was the first time it was ever on TV. And I'm looking at that tournament, at that course, and I can't say I was overly impressed. I know the players were struggling with it, especially on the greens. So, it was challenging, but it wasn't a course that it knocked my socks off just by viewing it. I mean, I can think of a lot of other courses that would fit the bill better than that one.
Now all there is fingers crossed everywhere, hoping that we're going to get some relaxation of the COVID-19 golf rules that were set down for the start of May 1st by the governor's office. A lot of people here feel confident, those in the golf industry, that some of the restrictions will get relaxed and that we will have foursomes going out maybe in possibly at 12 minutes per group, which would be nice. You could get 5 foursomes out an hour. Also, some relaxation on the cart rules, which are needed, at least one cart per person, unless you are sheltering, shall we say, under the same roof, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, father, son, mother, daughter, brother, sister, something like that. Also, the ranges possibly getting open. I know that with wet conditions here this week, I went past a couple of golf courses, and there weren't many people out playing on Monday. But what I did see in a couple places where I saw one person with a carry bag and someone else walking with them that appeared to be giving instructions. So I think a few of the professionals took advantage of a quiet day to perhaps do some playing lessons out on the golf course, since they really can't do them out on the range. In addition, I know that a few of the pros here have turned their driving ranges into temporary par 3 courses. Great little thing, especially for the junior golfers and the kids to play while they're out of school.
So I'm wondering what your take on it is, especially. I'm thinking that the weather issues, here in Florida, it's 90 degrees every day now again. We're about to hit the rainy season. But I got the feeling that walking is kind of coming back into the lexicon of golf again, especially there. I mean, the courses almost require it. I don't know if some of them were carry bags, or I don't know if they're pulling carts yet, but.
Well, we still have no golf carts unless you have a handicap or a disability here.
Oh, you can't even pull. It has to be ridden.
No, I mean riding carts. I mean, you can play with your own pull cart, you know.
Yeah.
But nobody's allowed to rent them out to you.
Yeah, well, there you have it. I mean, it seems like there, if you want to play there now, you've got to be a walking golfer, which, of course, I was predominantly for most of my playing time. But that would be a positive if we got back to more walking golf. That would just be a nice thing. But, you know, right now it's just a case of getting to play no matter how – no matter what the restrictions are, get them off, get them lifted, and just get people on the golf course.
It will be interesting to see what happens here next week. It's believed that we will not get any improvement on the restrictions from Memorial Day weekend. But there is some talk that perhaps by the last weekend of May, we could see some improvement here. The governor's talked about moving the state into the next phase of reopening, and we'll hope that golf courses are going to be able to benefit from that. It would be unfortunate, though, that this, in maybe in a few cases for a few courses here, that these might come at a time where you finally can get more golfers out, you can finally get your range open, you can finally rent out some golf carts, and again, there may be courses still doing cleanup work from flood damage instead of being open to golfers.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know what I think in our future shows here, what we're going to start getting into more of, or is that we should, is what's happening on the, maybe on more of the travel on the resort side, because, you know, the resorts I'm getting reports quite a bit that courses are getting ready to open around the country that would provide more golfing options for golfers from Illinois, where the weather, I know, has just been a nightmare, and the restrictions haven't helped. So I think that we're going to have to be on the lookout to see what we should be telling our listeners about golf in Indiana and Wisconsin, and even in Florida. I mean, even in Florida, a lot of the resorts are limiting their play to just the local members, but that's changing. You know, I think a lot of this stuff is going to be just turning over a lot in the next few weeks.
You know, Len, you and I have talked in some of our recent podcasts about the loss of revenue for various golf courses because of only two players going out, golf carts not going out, the ranges not being open, the teaching pros not really being able to teach. Also, the clubhouse is not open, so people are not coming in for that food and beverage before and after the round. Due to the lack of tee times, private clubs, they even had to clamp down on their members bringing guests because they said we need more tee times for the members. But I spoke to a couple of private club members this week who said the loss of revenue for golf courses even goes beyond just golf, that many of the private clubs who do host outings, charity outings on Mondays, and also host weddings, not only for members, but sometimes outside of the club, are absolutely being crushed this summer financially due to loss of outings, due to loss of weddings, and perhaps other special events, anniversary dinners, bar mitzvahs, whatever, because when you bring in large groups to private clubs for those events, it's a good dollar to do it. And the clubs are losing out on that money. They've lost out on that money already for April, May. They're going to lose it for June and perhaps July at this point. And we're not sure when the state of Illinois is going to allow gatherings over 50 people.
So it's you got to just hope it'll end pretty soon. I mean, it's a battle we're all going through. All industries are doing it. You know, it's not just the golf world, but the golf world to us is a very prominent thing. And, we can only hope that that things will pick up pretty soon, and I think they will.
Good news coming out of Wisconsin. Erin Hills finally getting their door open on Monday. I talked to some of their staff members, and they were talking about some of the adjustments that they had to make. And after a tour of the golf course by Erin Hills' legal team, due to the fact that certain bathrooms were closed, the bathrooms that were open down near the first tee, due to the fact you had to go up a walkway and step up one step to reach the bathrooms, they had to build a ramp, a wooden ramp, to meet ADA requirements. And the club had to hire a couple carpenters and spend over $1,000 worth of lumber just to build a small ramp so that people could go up one step if they couldn't step up one step to reach the men's room and the women's room.
Yeah, common sense doesn't seem like it's applicable in a lot of places in the golf world right now. And there's a lot of pressures in the world, and I guess that it's affecting all of us. But it's going to get better soon.
Well, and the other things that we haven't really talked much about, you and I were at the PGA Merchandise Show down in January. And, of course, the PGA of America in the last week or so canceling their Las Vegas show, basically for fashion and apparel. As of now, the PGA Merchandise Show for next January is still on as scheduled, and we will hope that that continues to be the case. But one of the things that we see at that show is all the new products, all the new equipment, all the new clubs. And there was so many different things on the club side that I was really excited about following up on and perhaps hitting some of those clubs at demo days and trying them out on the golf course this year. And unfortunately, not only have we not been playing golf, but you really have to wonder about club sales due to the fact that most of these demo days have been canceled, at least up here. And how many people have actually taken the time to go buy new clubs? And you have to wonder if the manufacturers will offer some specials to get new product in people's bags as courses open this year.
I think it's inevitable. There's going to have to be all kinds of I see on the internet, a lot of deals with golf balls, with new, teaching aids, all kinds of things are coming on the market. It's going to be fun to go over them all, but I don't think people are quite ready to think about getting into golf until they can really play it like golf is meant to be played. Hopefully that's not far down the road.
Any thoughts in closing here? Any travel destinations that you've heard from that are talking encouragingly about getting their rooms open and their facilities open on a bigger scale that people who are ready to travel can do it?
Well, I tell you what my plan and what our plan is here. We're going to take off. Our plan right now is to take off on the second week of June. Check in at the web.com events, which are going to, I don't know that we'll get access to them. Right now, there's no spectators allowed, and I don't see media information. But there's two of them in Florida. Then the PGA Tour stops at the Heritage at Sea Pines, and we plan to go there. And I know that in Georgia, which would be going through, and I know that in some places of North Carolina, there are some resorts open. So, and by then I'm expecting more to be open. So that's the kind of approach we're going to take. The weather and fewer restrictions in those areas, that's pretty well known by now. And I think that's the direction we're going to take and play it from there. Again, it's very hard to plan right now, but that's what we're going to do.
All right, Len, real good. We'll look forward to talking to you live Saturday morning on Golfers on Golf Radio as part of the program this week. And we'll look forward to Seaman Spear's podcast series 2020 Volume 11 coming up next week.